Story rocks just because, you know.
Here's to the people who put out podcasts more often than I do and make them longer. I just had to repair something. Here in the studio at FM High in Shizuoka, Japan. The first thing to note for this episode, this rock of mockery, something very, very historical. The first ever televised debate between two presidential candidates. John F. Kennedy and Richard M. Nixon. Kennedy emerged the apparent winner from the very first of four televised debates, partly owing to his greater ease before television cameras. Nixon, unlike Kennedy, had refused to wear makeup, and he seemed so nervous. He fared better in the second and third debates, and on October 21st, the candidates met to discuss foreign affairs. In their fourth and final debate, less than 3 weeks later, on November 8th, Kennedy won the election. But it was much closer than I had remembered. By percentage, Kennedy got 49.7% of the popular vote. By percentage, his Republican opponent, sometimes referred to as Tricky Dicky, got 49.6. 1% of a percentage point separated them. And most people don't remember it that way. If it were a movie, The Adventures of Tricky Dicky and JFK. Opie, or Ron Howard, made Nixon and Frost as a movie. Nixon tried to make the point in that exchange with David Frost that if the president does it, if the president says it, it must be legal. Of course, that interview was long after losing to JFK. It was indeed long after Watergate and the resignation. However, that view from Nixon, that if the president is doing it or the president is saying it, then it must be legal. That comes from Nixon, and it falls on President Trump. He says, I can go along with that, doesn't he? On Mockery Rocks, we try to give you some kind of new story that other people might be overlooking. The U.S. Senate voted to take up a stopgap funding bill to keep the federal government operating through December 11th, paving the way for final passage that would avoid a government shutdown. But work on the measure appeared unlikely to finish before the deadline, which would be the last Wednesday in the month of September, after Democrats used procedural rules to extend the debate as part of their protest over Republicans rushing to fill the Supreme Court vacancy left by the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. With government funding running out, the legislation would continue funding most programs at current levels, and thus avoid a government shutdown in the middle of a pandemic and ahead of the November 3rd U.S. election. The Republican-controlled Senate voted 93-2 to open debate on the measure. Senator John Thune, the number two Republican in the chamber, said the vote on final passage was expected before the deadline. This piece, which I will not read all of, was published in the online magazine Slate, slate.com, if you want to find it for yourself. The date of publication, the 24th of September, the writer Willa Paskin. If the third time's the charm. What happens when the third time arrives and you remain uncharmed? When the time in question is the third season of the critically acclaimed Fargo, not the movie, but the television series. It says the network is FX. I got it from Netflix. But it'll be a while before I can get the latest season by Netflix. The latest season looks very interesting. But the writer Willa says, and the uncharmed you is me. A grouchy TV critic, the answer is wait a while and try for the fourth after a hiatus of 3 years. Noah Hawley's anthology series returns and tries to meet the times. No. By meeting the times, I think she means the times we are in at the moment. But I think the series goes backwards so that the one that has Chris Rock as the leading character, the protagonist, or the bad guy goes back into the 50s. And I know that just by what kinds of cars they're driving. 6 years ago, as I go back to the reading of Willa Paskin, the first season of Fargo premiered, chronicling absurd and snowballing ultra-violence in the snowy climes of the upper Midwest, where galoots and bone-chilling criminals did dark deeds no one who saw them would ever forget. The heart of the show, like that of the Coen brothers' movie that inspired it, was a decent female police officer, wonderfully played by Alison Tolman, riffing on Frances McDormand's indelible Marge Gunderson. But the finale pushes her to the side because, like so many of the prestige dramas that came before it, Fargo was primarily concerned with the live wire connection between men and violence. The 2020 series coming soon to FX, or even later to Netflix does not have the character Alison Tolman, I don't think. Again, because it goes backwards in time, she would have been a child. I don't think the writer, Willa, understands that. Now, even though there is a different writer and different director for the television series, different from the Coen brothers, still, it has a Coen brothers feel. I think, see if you don't agree, I think a Coen brothers topic for the future might be the Trump regime. No, not the Trump administration, the Trump regime. But that's so difficult because Fargo depends on the absurdity. Fargo depends on it being definitely fiction. But if Ron Howard could make his movie about Nixon with Frost, could the Coen brothers make their movie using source material from Bob Woodward? Maybe they could. It's time to say thank you. Thank you for listening to this Rock of Mockery. Yes, we do call our episodes Rocks of Mockery. Mockery rocks.
That's how I feel about it.
Yes, Rocky himself, Rokurota, my Japanese son, is doing nicely.
Shut up, 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 sh